Well, thank you so much for being here. My name is Marcia Shear. If you thought you were in a different session, just sit still. Don't get up and run out. So I'm excited you're here. I'm excited to get to be with you and spend this time together. The Lord showed me a lot of great things while I was studying for this session, so I'm excited to share them with you. A little bit about me. Mrs. Chappell said, now tell them what you do. And I'm like, what do I do, Ms. Chappell? You know? But my husband and I and our two boys, Walker and Wyatt, who are 13 and 14 now, have a hunting, fishing television show. That's kind of our business job, one of them. And then we have a ministry with that called Shear Ministries. It's an outdoor night. Excited to see a lot of faces that we've been in churches that are here, that are representing the conference. But with that, we go in and do an outdoor night, the Beast, Sportsman's Night, guns and ammo, you know, whatever you want to call it, fishing. But we're hunting for men and fishing for souls, and we give them all the different tips and techniques with the hunting industry that we have. And then we give them the plan of salvation. And we've seen over 600 people accept Christ this year, and the Lord has blessed us with that. So we're just excited, like Brother Chappell keeps saying, just to be that tool in the toolbox. So that's exciting for us. So I'm not going to talk about hunting and knives and all that stuff. We're not doing that today. So, like, I've even got, you know, my jewelry on and no camo paint or anything like that. So don't be worried. We're not going to talk about that. But we are talking about standing strong through the difficulties of life. How many of you have had a difficulty in your life? If you haven't, you will. So just take notes ahead of time. Get ready. Hang on. It'll come. But we're going to talk about this. And sometimes they're very different difficulties, a lot of different things. But the only thing in life that will never change is Jesus. Amen. With difficulties, changes will happen. There's three different changes we're going to talk about, and there's some different things that happen. Before we get started, we'll just go ahead and say a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time together. Lord, I just pray that you would cleanse all of our hearts and our minds and help us to focus on what you'd have us to in this short time. Lord, I just pray that you would be with me specifically, Lord, and help me say only what you'd have me to say and refrain from anything that is not of you. Be with these ladies, Lord, that are here. Many sacrifices were made to be here with travel and finances and time. And, Lord, just help them to be better servants for you, Lord, and to continue to build. Help us all to stay strong through the difficult times that we have had or will have. In your name I pray, amen. So I'm not using this, correct? Correct. Okay, I'm not. If I move it away, we'll find out. So I felt like there was a bug in my face, but y'all just need to lighten up. Did you eat too much? Yes? How many of you didn't have lunch? Oh, my. I could share with you, but I ate too much. But we have had a wonderful time since we're here, and we're going to talk about the theme that they have is to build. I will build. With the build of this, I think the first thing that I come to with building, when I think of the Bible or Bible stories, who do you think of? Okay, now you all are going to have to wake up. Noah. That's the building project is the first thing that I think of is Noah. And I think of when Noah was building, you know, he didn't run to Home Depot when he ran out of things, or Lowe's or Sam's or Costco, you know, call the general contractor. I mean, he was it. It was him, his three sons, his wife, his daughter, you know, and that was his building team. That was his contractor. But I'm sure there was difficulties. Do you know that the Bible tells us that the Lord gave him specific instructions? The size to build, how long, how tall, how high, how many doors, how many windows, everything. He had a blueprint. God gave him that. But I still think he had difficulties. There was no rain when he was building. Are you awake? Do you get it? There was no rain because the rain came out. You got? Okay. Man, I'm really deep in my theology this morning or the afternoon. But there was no rain, so you didn't have to worry about the weather. But maybe he had wind. Maybe he had extremely hot temperatures. It took a long period of time to build the ark. There might have been some sickness while he was building. He had some difficulties. But you know what else I thought of about the difficulties he had? He had people mocking him, ridiculing him. No one else other than those few people in his family were behind the project. You know, what if Brother Chappell just had, you know, three children, their spouses and his wife, and he was going to try to build that. But I just don't see that. I don't see it happening. But Noah made it happen. He stuck with the building, even though he had difficulties. And I'm sure Mrs. Noah, being the Mrs. Contract, she had a pretty rough time. Because, see, if you bother me, that's one thing. You mess with my husband and my kids, Mama Bear is not happy. It's a different, you're treading on different waters, you know? So Mrs. Noah had to be the best supportive she could in that building committee and that job with having all of those different problems with rough times. But you know what? However, with the storm and the rain that did come, there was a rainbow. After the flood, there was a rainbow. Without rough waters, there's no calmness after the storm. But it's just not how strong we are when the storm comes. It's how strong we are before the storm comes. Sometimes it's going to be just what we need to get it through. So we may think, oh, this is a perfect church, and then we join it, and it's not. No. And we may think, oh, I've married a perfect man, and then he lays his dirty socks all over the floor. You know, we could go on and on about those things. And he's only 99% perfect, not 100%. There's just a small flaw. And then we think, oh, pregnancy is great, and this infant's going to be wonderful. And then we're like, oh, I can't even see my toes. You know, it's a different. And after 10 hours of labor and the doctor says you may go another 10, then you're just not thinking that the pregnancy was that great at the time. But when that child and that gift of God is born, don't we forget about all of that? You don't even remember the labor, you know? We could probably remind ourselves if we had to, but we forget about it. And then you think, oh, rearing children, this is a breeze. What's the problem? And then they learn to walk and crawl and talk back to you and have their own mind and have an opinion and want to share it, you know, and all those things. And then you think, oh, I am so in shape. You know, I'm just so blessed. I don't have to worry about calories and counting and stepping and little thingies that you wear to tell you what you've done. And, you know, I'm just, oh, everything is so wonderful. And then, you know, the shape we get is by running out of energy because we haven't run to the refrigerator at midnight to get a snack. You know, things just happen and difficulties come. But through these times, we're going to talk about three different changes. Three different changes. If you have your handout, three different changes. Number one is the expected change. It's the expected change. You know, we are going to grow older. Tomorrow, we're going to all be one day older. That's expected. If you have an infant, it's not going to stay an infant its whole entire life. It's going to grow. You're going to have physical changes. If you have a certain color hair, it may get longer. If you have a certain shade of hair that doesn't come out of a box, it may turn a different color. Then you have to go get the box. No. Or the number or whatever you have. But there's going to be some expected changes. Sometimes we're ready for them. You're expecting that when your child's at 4, next year I know he's going to have to go to kindergarten. When your child starts 12th grade, hopefully, please, Lord, let it be so, he's going to graduate. You know, it's an expect. Sometimes you know what's going to happen. Sometimes we have expected changes we're uncertain of. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when. Maybe someone has poor health, and you know the time, all of us, even if we don't have poor health now, we know at one time, unless if the Lord comes and the rapture happens, we're not going to live here forever. To die, to live, to die, it may happen, but we don't know when. It could happen to someone in this room today. It could be another 50 years for someone. We don't know. Sometimes it's expected, and we know when it's going to happen, and other times we don't. You know, if I go to the store, and I bought something that is $10, and I give the lady a $100 bill, which would not happen because I don't have a $100 bill, but if I was to give her $100 bills, what would I expect in exchange, in return? $90. I would expect that in change. Well, there's some changes in our life that God expects to be expected changes. Sometimes, many times, we have had a change in our life. There's a great, great change since I've been born again. And you think, oh, that was such a great day. And if you're living the same way that when you accepted Christ as your Savior, and you think, yeah, not a lot of things have changed, God's saying, I'm expecting some changes. I should see some changes. I should see fruit from your labor. I should see a difference in your heart. I could see a difference in your mind. I should see a difference in your home. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. We could do all those things. God expects different changes in our life. What if God was to give us a $100 bill for something that was 10, and he wanted the 90 back, and we didn't give him the expected change, things that he expected to see change in our life? With salvation, as becoming a child, our Heavenly Father expects things. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. With salvation, with being a Christian, with being a follower and a child of God, there should be some expected changes in our life. He expects us to have a true relationship with him. It may be the last time that you talk to the Lord is when you ask him to come into your heart. Do we talk to him anymore after that? It's just not what we can get. It's what we can give the Lord. It's what we can thank the Lord. It's what we can ask the Lord and have a true communication with him. If you think, you know, my walk with God is good, my relationship with God is good, I ask you again, is it any better than it was last year? Is it any better than it was last week? Can you see a difference in your life? Is there growth? Is there some expected changes that you should have? If you're just doing the same thing now that you did this time last year, there's no good expected changes for the Lord. So that's something we can take with. God's given us so many promises in his word to help us with these changes, but he's also given us instructions on how to make these changes, and he wants us to make them for him. Number two is needed changes. Needed changes, like we might need a new towel for the bathroom, or a new rug, or a new shower curtain. It's not a have to. We could maybe make do, but maybe it's we need it. It's time to, you know, like it's threads. It's got so many stains on it you don't remember what color it is. You know what I mean? It's a needed change. Maybe a fresh coat of paint. Maybe we need a new hair coat. We all need new clothes, right? Of course, new shoes, new clothes. I mean, it's a need. It's a need. You hear me, sister? It's a need. No. My husband would be saying, no, it's not a need. But it's a need. We need some of those things. I personally could use like a new waistline. That would be great. It would be a needed change for me. But like I just told you, I had a whole lot of lunch today, so that's not probably going to happen. But we have a needed change. Needed changes could be a positive thing. But also, they could be a needed change that makes things that's going to be good or better. It's not necessarily going to be a difference in our life, but it could be a need. It needs to be done. Maybe it's a change in our attitude. That's a need. It's not a materialistic need, but maybe it's a need that needs to be changed. Maybe it's a change in the friends that we're with. Maybe, you know, you are who you're with. If I'm with somebody, I'm originally from Tennessee, and if I get some of you in here that talk like this, because when I get on the phone with my mama and I talk like this, it only takes me that second long. I'm going to be like, sound like my mom. My husband comes in and says, who have you been on the phone with? You know, he can hear. You are who you're around. Some of us may need a change to change the people we're with. We might need a needed change. We might need to have a little bit more, a better influence on our life. Maybe with our children, with different things that we work with. Maybe we need a different change in our schedule. Maybe we need more Bible time instead of social media time. We'll just go right over that, but it has to be said. Maybe we need a different time with scheduling. Maybe there's just too much wasted time. Maybe nothing ever gets done because we don't schedule our time right. We need a change. We need to change some things around. Sometimes we know that there's needed changes that need to be made, but we do nothing. Sometimes it takes an effort. Sometimes it needs just a heart change. Sometimes it's going to be putting a little bit of work and labor behind it. Do you know, if I sit there and say, oh, that wall needs a fresh new color of paint, and then tomorrow I come out and say, oh, that wall needs a fresh new color of paint, I can know the need, but until I put some action, till I go buy the paint, get the paintbrush, tape it off, and paint the wall and do it, there is no change. I could think about it, but some of our lives, we need to just make some changes because they're needed. So what was the first one?
Expected.
And the second one was needed. And then the third is drastic change. Drastic change. There could be drastic changes in your life. Sometimes you know this is coming. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new location. Maybe it's selling a home. Sometimes we have no idea of a drastic change. Maybe it's extreme sickness. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one. Maybe someone joins the military and goes off, but he doesn't come back home the same way. Maybe he or she comes back with a box with a flag over it. That's a drastic change. You don't always expect it. You may think it's never going to happen to you, but it can. Generally, things will never be the same with this point. A drastic change, generally things are going to be changed very differently in your life and in your family's life. Sometimes drastic changes we do not see coming. Like I said, an accident, maybe a family crisis, maybe a wayward child. Maybe you have younger children, older children. They've always just followed the rules, been great, had no problem, and then you have a drastic change. You have a wayward child. You have one that doesn't want anything to do with you, God, church. Many times, I've spoke to many ladies across the country in the last 4 months. There's a lot of people hurting today. And a lot of things people say, the one thing I remember is they say, Marcia, I never thought this would happen. Or I never saw it coming. There's drastic changes in people's lives. Health issues, even like I said, death. Hopefully we've had the expected changes and we've had the needed changes that we need so that we're better prepared for when the drastic happens. Because if we don't do anything with what's expected, with what God expects us, or with ourselves, what needs to be done, a lot of times we don't make it through the drastic changes because the preparation leading up to it has not been done. You may have things that come up into your life for changes. You may have a bump. You may have a heat rash. You may have a little bit of sickness or a flu. You might have a rough day. Someone doesn't like you. They said something ugly to you. They didn't smile at you when you walked by. That was a hurt. It was a change. Maybe you had you burnt the supper while you were cooking it. Maybe you didn't, had to have peanut butter and jelly that night. The kids are sick. Maybe you had a job review and it didn't run out, didn't do so well. Maybe you were headed to go get errands ran and you ran out of gas. Some of those things are changes. Some of them to us can be very drastic. One of those changes to you may be big in your life. It could be the same thing to another lady next to you and it not be that big. If it's big to you, it's big to God. And it could be a change. However, those small things that could be smaller also could be much larger. Instead of moving across town, you might move 1,800 miles away from your family. You may move to a town, you may go off to a college and know no one. It's a change, it's a drastic change. You may think I'm gonna find the love of my life, be married, have children, but instead, God decides to give you 3 miscarriages. That was a drastic change. You weren't ready for that. Very sick baby when you were born. Having your house all packed up to move and the contract falls through. Now you have to go back to square one and everything's in boxes. That's a drastic change. Losing a large amount of financial money, maybe from someone you did Christian business with and they ran off with your money. It happens. Good things and good people are all around the world, but also bad things happen to good people. And it's not always just because of sin in their life. Sometimes things and changes just happen. If we ask God and pray and ask Him to help us through the difficult times, do you know that God already knows what you're going through? He already knows what's going to happen ahead of time. He already knows how those changes are going to affect you and those around you. But He still wants you to come to Him. Because it's like Brother Chapel said last night, if you all were in the meeting last night, it's not about us. It's when we go to God, we're reminding ourselves that that's who it's all about. And we see things how God wants us to see them. So what do we do with the changes? How do we get through the changes? How do we get through the difficult times? We're going to spell out the word change. The first one is C. We choose to look to God and look for the good. We choose to look for God and look for the good. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Do you know, if you don't like the change you're going through, don't blame anybody else, but just say, this is what God has for me. God must love me an awful lot to know I'm strong enough and that I'm going to get through this. Because He's making those changes for you. But you choose to look to God. You choose to look to God for the good. John 16, 33, these things have I spoken unto ye, that ye might have peace. In a world of tribulation, be of good cheer. I will overcome the world. We choose to look to God. There's so many other verses. If you can jot them down for the sake of time, I'll just give them to you. Psalms 18, 2, the Lord is my rock. Psalms 138, 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. He's going to pick you up. He's going to carry you. Psalms 22, 24, for he that not despises or abhor the affection of the afflicted, he hasn't hid his face from you. Psalms 125, 1, they that trust in the Lord shall mount be as a Mount Zion. You're going to stand tall through the trials. Look for the good. When you're going through the change, look for God. He hasn't moved. You might have, but He hasn't moved. He's all around you. you choose to look to him and look to the good. We were in an accident about 2 years ago. In August, it'll be 2 years ago. A couple of you have heard this story. Do you know when we left to come to the airport here Friday afternoon, the black marks from that accident are still on the highway. And it's been almost 2 years, and that road's traveled quite a bit. 2 years, and those marks are still there. You know what? There's still some marks in our family's lives. There's still marks in our health issues. There's still marks that'll never go away. Eventually, that road will, those marks will go away. Some of the marks that we have from the hurt, from the pain, it may be there forever. But we choose to look to God. See, I was only 3 miles from Great Falls, Montana. I was just 30 miles from home. Since Christmas, we've only been home 3 or 4 weeks. That accident could have happened anywhere in the country, and I would have been laying flat on my back somewhere for 2 weeks because I couldn't move that wasn't at home. So I decided that that was going to be a good thing. Sometimes that was the only thing that got me through. Just that I had to look for something good, that I knew that God had something good in it. I could sit and say, oh, I hurt. Oh, this happened. Oh, why did this happen to me? Blah, blah. I could have done that. And sometimes it was easy to do that, and it was done. But very quickly, I had to stop and think, look for the good. What? Look to God. He's going to help me through this. Psalms 113:3, from the rising of the sun and the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Do you know, even with changes, even with difficult times, we should still praise the Lord. Still praise the Lord. Claim a verse and claim a song. I am very, very firm on this, to claim a verse and to claim a song. And you know, sometimes you're going through such difficulty times, you pick up the Bible and you try to find a verse and it's just words. It's wonderful words, and I'm not downplaying the wonderful book of the Lord, but sometimes you just feel like you can't, it just doesn't work. Do you know what? Sometimes you just claim a verse from somebody else's. Borrow someone else's hurt verse. Borrow someone else's verse that helped them. God will give you your verse. Even if he changes it, but claim one. Even if it's, every verse in the Bible is good. If it says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. You know, that's one that sometimes we forget. We try to look so deep and we just forget the basic things that God tells us. I knew all along, God will never leave thee or forsake thee. So I'm not alone in this change. I'm not alone in this difficult time. Claim a verse. Look to it. You know, there are so many different studies. There's different books. Brother Chapel had it in the Voice magazine, two issues back, where it had, if you worry, these are your verse. If you have stress, these are your worst. If you're unhappy, these are your verses. And I think that's great. But you know what will even help you even more? Whatever word that you're dealing with, you find those verses. It gives you time to focus. Man, I'm having trouble with finances. How's God going to supply your need? Look up every verse you can about a need. Supply. It gets you, you know what? You automatically start thinking more positive. You're finding God's promises that he's going to help you through. Claim a verse. Do a Bible study. Claim a song. So many times a song can be remembered through different things. Wasn't that music wonderful last night? It got your heart really ready and stirred it. Claim a song. I'm blessed. Even in the valley, he's good. He's in the midst of the storm. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. I have a dear friend of mine, pastor's wife, who lost a child many, many years ago at a very young age, and Patch the Pirate song, Rejoice in the Lord. She was able to share that with Patch the Pirate a few days ago. Your song, that was our song through that trial. That was that, and you know, when you lose a child, I'm sure every day you think of it. I've lost children through miscarriages, but I haven't had one that God's given me and then I've lost. But you know what? I think every day that Rejoice in the Lord, I'm sure at any time that song is heard or thought of, it's a comfort to her. Rejoice in the Lord. Either God in the mountain is still God in the valley. We wouldn't have the mountains if we didn't have the valleys. There'd be no victories if there were no battles. Play the glad game. My grandmother, I may have shared this before, she used to always say this: you can smile when you can't say a word. You can smile when you cannot be heard. You can smile when it's cloudy or fair. You can smile anytime, anywhere. Sometimes just decide to smile. Sometimes standing strong through difficulties of life, sometimes it's just getting out of bed and standing. It's not standing on top of the building or climbing 20 miles hike. Sometimes it's just getting up and standing. just getting your feet one foot in front of the other. I'm never going to get to here to the back door without one step at a time. Sometimes that's all we have. Sometimes that's all we can do. But it'll help us get through the difficulties. H, how can this teach me? I think they're all up there at one time, so you all are getting ahead of the game. Is it not working one at a time? That's okay. We'll let you skip ahead. But stick with me on H. H, how can this teach me? Psalms 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which I shall go. I will guide thee my eye. You know, I think God is always teaching us something. But are we teachable? Are we a good student? Are we missing everything? If you ever taught a class and you're telling them, and it's just, you can see it. It's like, you teachers, it's like, hello? Are you in there? It's just going, and then if you teach them and you stick with it and you keep teaching, and then you see, like they say, the light comes on. I have one child like that with math. I keep saying, don't you see this? This and this and this, don't you see this? No, I don't see it, Mom. I'm like, okay, let's go back to the beginning. And we go over the whole thing. I didn't say anything any different. But all of a sudden, it clicks. Oh, yeah, now I got it. He just did his whole lesson in 5 minutes. I'm like, really? You know? Sometimes we just aren't teachable. Sometimes it just doesn't click. Sometimes God has to hit us over the head a little bit harder to get our attention. But are we teachable? Are we keeping our eyes open for what God's teaching us? Don't waste your hurt. Maybe you've had some hard times in your life. Maybe you've had difficulties. Look for ways that God's trying to teach you. Don't let them waste. Don't waste your hurt. We had lunch with a couple yesterday I'd never met before. Their father's on staff here, and they helped us film a commercial. We filmed a commercial in Lancaster yesterday. And they helped us. They were on the SWAT team. He was on the SWAT team and helped us with that. I never met him before. He had a very rough life. He only became a Christian about a year and a half ago. And at lunch, he was sharing with Chad. He said, if I didn't have the things that I had in my past, he said, some I wish I could take all away. But he said, they've made me stronger. I've learned from them. I know to teach my daughters differently. I know to handle things differently. I know the mistakes I made. I'm trying to help my kids not make them. He's teachable. He's not wasting his hurt. He's using it to make him better. He's putting glory to God that way. Don't waste your hurt. Get through them. And you know what? By not wasting them, it may be sometimes letting down your pride to help someone else. Maybe someone else is going through financial trouble. Maybe you don't want anybody to know that you had a hard time with finances. But maybe sharing that and helping them, you're not wasting your hurt. You're helping someone else get through it. A, allow others to help. Allow others to help. Don't be so stubborn or self-independent. For some, this comes very easy. Hey, can I help you? Sure. I'll sit down while you do it all, you know? Some of you just, I don't mind. Come on. Others, No, I got it. And you're up till 3 o'clock in the morning trying to get something done that could have been done hours ago, but you didn't want help or didn't feel like you should let people know you needed help. There's many different reasons. You know what? When you're going through a difficult time, when we had our accident and I was laying flat on my back for 2 weeks and I could not get out of bed at all, screaming and yelling when I had to get up to go to the restroom, my children had to be fed. They couldn't understand why I couldn't just let them go 2 weeks without being fed. You know, the clothes had to be washed. I had to have things done. Do you know what? I had a couple that lived 6 miles down the mountain that I had never met before. You may have heard this before. I never met them before. They saw our television show. They were Christians. They prayed for us when we did outdoor ministries and prayed that we would see souls saved, and I never met these people. They were the first ones at my house. Here, I'm from Alabama. Us southern people got to stick together, and I made you something to eat. She brought enough eat to feed that whole town of Belt. We live in a town that has 500 people. I could have fed over half of them. And there's only 4 people in my family. The food, just because she brought 4 pies, tons of food. I'm just like, she comes in. I'm in the bedroom. I can't get up. My husband greets them at the door. So they just come walking right in the bedroom, and I'm just like, you know, I don't even know if I'm good about that. I'm like, I'm thinking I have taken too much medicine to deal with my pain. Is this real happening? You know, I'm pinching myself. And she's just going on and on and on. And she's like, now, Chad, what else do you need? Now, if you need, I can clean toilets. I can clean windows. What do we need to do? We're here to work. What are we here to do? And I just kind of sat there like, really? are you people real, you know? And, but I had other people that they thought everything was covered. It was 3 days later before anyone came. The church people didn't come because they thought somebody else was doing it. And what if they would have just called, you know, they call and say, hey, Chad, do you need anything? No, I think we're good. We are not good. We're in trouble. We're drowning here. I need a new boat sent to me, you know. Sometimes we just say we're good, and we need to let people help. Don't you like helping people? Isn't it a blessing when someone's a blessing to you? The blessing that that lady was to me, I will never forget it. Do you know what she tells me to this day? I just can't. I'm just so thankful you let me do it. She thanks me for letting her help me. Think about that. It doesn't sound right. Even when I say it out loud, it doesn't sound right. But I would have taken that away from her being a blessing. She lost her child. She had one child, passed away in an accident. She has no children. The spouse, after losing the child, will not let them have anything to do with the grandchildren. She has no family. She's taken us in as family. Now, you know, you have to have some of those crazy people in your family. Now, that's kind of how they are. No, I'm just kidding. But they're just wonderful, sweet people. But what if I would have never allowed them to help me? I would have lost out a big blessing. And they wouldn't have been able to be a blessing. It was a blessing to them just to help. Sometimes we need to allow others to help us. And a lot of times, it may be done a little differently. It may not be, you know what, my kitchen did not look the same when I got up 2 weeks later and was moving around. I couldn't find things. But everything was clean and put away and in a cabinet, and it was okay. I lived through it. It was okay that my dishes weren't put away the same way. Sometimes we just need to accept the fact we don't have to have perfection. Just be thankful for what we have and be thankful for those that want to help. See, I gave my burdens to God whenever I was laying there hurting, and someone came in and bared my burdens. Will you two ladies come help me? I have two Montana pastor's wives. Now, in Montana, we've got big guns, you know? Y'all still awake with me? Okay. One of them's going to have to bring out her big guns. You all may have seen this before, and we're going to do it quickly, but this helps me so much all the time just to remember what it's like, okay? Because here we are with our burdens, okay? And sometimes, not all things are bad burdens. Having children, that's a wonderful thing. But can it be a burden sometime? Yes. You know, having a husband is wonderful. Can it be a burden sometimes?
Yes.
Oh, just a little bit. Somebody's quick to answer. Yes. Okay, so here's your burden bag here. Okay. So here we do. I'm going to stand in the middle of y'all. So here's our burdens. Okay. We have a burden of, let's see. We have a burden of hurt. Maybe it's a physical hurt. Maybe it's an emotional hurt. Someone said something, someone did something, you stubbed your toe, you broke your leg, you know, you have a hurt. Okay, so here's her hurt, here's her hurt. Now this hurt might go away. You have a cold, you have some injury, it might heal, it might go away. Some hurts aren't going to go away. Sometimes you have to carry the burdens for a little while, and sometimes we just keep them on ourselves. So we're going to have that, we're going to have our schedule. Maybe that schedule is a burden. You know what? It's great being at Spiritual Leadership Conference, but sometimes is it a burden? Being in a hotel, ironing all these shirts, getting everything ready, being on time, you know, being ready at 8 o'clock in the morning and then going until 3 o'clock in the morning. No, I'm just kidding. and so it could be a burden if you let it, right? So then there's sin. If you have sin in your life, can that weigh you down? It's a burden. Here, you got to hold that bag out like this, okay? Here you go. Here's your sin. I'm going to hurry so she doesn't fall down. Here's stress in our life. Sometimes other people give us stress. Sometimes we give stress to ourselves. It's a burden we're going to bear, okay? But what has God? Here's relationships. Aren't they hard? In-laws, outlaws, and all the alls, you know, and everything. Fear. Maybe you're worried about how you're going to handle something. Maybe you don't. Something's coming unexpected. You don't know what you're going to do with it. You okay? Okay, she's doing good. If you need rest, you rest. Now, here's just half of the load. We still have more things that we're going to burden down. But now, here, she's saying, you know what? I've carried this for a while. But what are we supposed to do with this burden? What does it say? Cast it, right? Cast it. It doesn't say keep it in front of us. Because look, she's got all these burdens right here. I'm helping you. She's got all these burdens right here. Can she see anybody else? She's got all this right here in front of her. It's heavy. It's weighting her down. She can't stand. It's weighing her down. That's all she's thinking about is her burden. Now, she's a little bit spiritual lady. She's come over here. She said, God, this relationship I'm having with my parents, Lord, they don't understand why I'm going to church all the time. Lord, I want to be a witness to them. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I'm giving it to you. She's casting it. And then she says, Lord, the fear that I have of, I hope my children want to serve you, Lord. I hope they keep staying in church. I hope they do what's right. Lord, I have that fear. Lord, I hope I'm a good mama. That's a fear. I'm going to give it to God. So she casts it out. She gives it to God. Now, is her bag getting lighter?
Yeah.
Because she's giving her burdens to the Lord. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you'll take it back. Yeah. Now, Lord, I know you're busy. I'll put this back. And you put the burden back. You got to give it back. You got to give it back to God. You know, okay, Lord, I got this relationship. My husband, he's not perfect, but I'm going to make him that way. You know, and I say, I know you got other, her husband's worse than mine. I'm going to help you, you know? No. So, but sometimes we take it, but we got to give it back. We got to keep casting it. We're lighting our load. So now she's got a lighter load. She's gotten rid of some of her stress. That just keeps always jumping back in there. And she's gotten rid, you know, her finances, they're okay for now. It may become a burden again, and she has to give it back. But now she's got a lighter load, you okay? She's got a lighter load. Now, she's over here. She's already taken on worry and finances and sickness and loneliness and all kinds of things. And she's about to drop. She can't carry it. But here comes Miss deals with difficulties, and she says, man, she doesn't even ask questions. She doesn't say, do you need your help? Can I help you? What, you know what? I have a solution to your problems. Let me tell you what I do. No, she just says, let me just bear it. Bear ye one another's burdens. So she takes a burden. Now her bag is lighter. And she takes that burden, and she's just going to bear it. And you know what if we do it right? She's going to take not only her burdens, but her burdens, and she's going to give them to the Lord. When she felt she couldn't and she was so weighed down, because she had given her burdens to the Lord, she had room to carry someone else's. Do you get that? I have seen this illustration done I don't know how many times, and I don't know why I can't get it through my head. It works. You know, sometimes we just need to see it again. It works. But if she never gave it to God, she could never carry anyone else's load. If she keeps standing here with it all in front of her and weighing it down, she's never going to see God, because all she's doing is thinking about the burdens. She's never going to see anybody else, and she can't help them. She can't even help her own family. She's just breathing. Isn't that how sometimes what we feel? Sometimes, you know what, and sometimes when the difficulties come, thank you, y'all. Sometimes when the difficulties come, that's all we can do is breathe. But it would lighten us so much better if we took all those burdens and that weight and we casted them to the Lord. And we gave them to Him. Because we can't bear anybody else's burdens if we have all of our own. We can't stand strong through difficulties and become a strong church. Become a strong home. I can't help my husband with his burdens if I have all the burdens that I have. I can't help my children when they say, Mom, I don't know what I'm going to do. Mom, why doesn't this happen? Why doesn't that happen? Why does family relationships have to be like this, Mom? Why do we have to do this? Why? I don't understand, Mom. You know what? I could be just like, I don't know. I have too much to worry about because I'm focusing on all my burdens. You know, I could be a much better mom. I could be a much better Christian. I could be a much better spouse. I could be a better church lady in my church if I'd give my burdens to somebody else. And these other ladies that are having so many more burdens, I could lighten their load if I would just bear their burden. We can't bear one another's burdens if we don't all give our burdens to God first, because our burden basket's going to be too full. So we can't go through changes without God. But you can go through changes with God and with the family of God. It's sad when other strangers and other people outside our churches are a better help when we're going through difficulty times than our own family and our church families are. Maybe that's where you're at right now. But you know what? That's a burden that you're bearing. So instead of saying, oh, woe is me, maybe that is a burden. Maybe that's the cross God has for you right now. But go ahead and give it to God. Go ahead and let Him have it, because you're never alone. He'll never leave you or forsake you. N is to navigate your emotions. Navigate your emotions. You're like, what does navigate your emotions? You've got to channel them. You've got to know it. You've got to know when they're up, when they're down. You're going to navigate them. Her children rise up and call it blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. A lot of times, ladies are emotional. Did you know that? Emotions. We live on emotions. up and down, up and down. We live on emotions. But we need to navigate, and we need to choose when we're going to fall apart and how long we're going to fall apart. Maybe you say, I have got so much burden, I have so much hurt, I have so much, I'm going to give it to the Lord, I'm going to focus on it for these 10 minutes, I'm going to fall apart, I'm going to lay on the floor and kick and cry and scream, and then I'm going to get up, dust myself off, and go about God's business. You need to navigate your emotions. We can't all be down at the same time. If you're a parent, you need to be up for when your children's down. Do you know, sometimes my children, I'm down and my children are up. I'm thinking, we're never going to get this done. We have a huge project. I don't see how we can get it done, what's got to be done today. And my 14-year-old say, Mom, we can do it. Mom, I'm going to help you. And I'm going, okay, I think this is backwards here, you know? But if you have other people in your lives and your relationship with a husband and wife, we travel a lot. Do you know, not all flights are on schedule. They don't know that Marcia Shear is coming and she's supposed to board that plane. And some things don't go our way. Do you know what? If we're really worried about it and upset and trying to figure it out, it's better if one of us, you know, you handle this, I'm going to go get some chocolate, you know? And it may be vice versa. About a month or so ago, I had some tests done, and we had a little bit of fear and a scare, and the doctor said, you need to come back in for some second tests. It could just be nothing. It could be this, gave me a big old long list, and then he says, it could be cancer. Don't you love it when they tell you that, and then you don't know? So we had to wait several more days, and it was quite frightening, because I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. My children were worried. I didn't know if we're going to have to do... I already started thinking, am I going to do chemo? Am I going to have radiation? Are we going to not be able to travel? Are we going to need... What about the finances? What about my insurance? I mean, a lot of us just automatically start thinking about all that. You know what? I was putting difficulties and struggles on myself that hadn't even happened yet. But I'm a planner, so I was planning for the worst. My children were affected by it. That, you know, because there's a lot of great things that people survive through cancer, and praise the Lord, there's cancer survivors. There's a lot of people that don't. So I didn't even think about it. My child, you know, they were thinking, Mama, I don't want you to die. I'll just tell you, that's what he said. I don't want you to die, Mama. Well, I couldn't say, I know, son, I don't want to die either, you know, and we just both, I couldn't fall apart then. I needed to navigate my emotions and be strong then while my child was not strong. And then when he went away and went to bed, then I fall apart, you know? And I didn't, my husband, one morning he came in and just hugged me. He said, I wish I could take it. I wish it was me. And I couldn't do the same thing. Oh, no, I wish it was you too, you know? I mean, I could, you know? Because then what good are we then? We're both a wreck, you know? So I'm like, I know you love me, and I know you do that. We're going to get through this. We just decided as a family, if this is what God has for us, we're going to get through it. And he's going to be just as good as he is, and he was good as he was when I didn't have it, or when I do have it, or whatever happens, God's going to see us through it. If we're going to learn how to deal with cancer, then we're going to deal with it together, and God's going to help it. As good as he's going to be, no matter what, God's going to be good through it all. And sometimes I would say it, but it just wasn't believing very much. But I just kept saying it. 2-3 weeks later, we went back in. Another test, another x-ray, another MRI. Then a, what do they call that thing? CAT scan? No. What did they do to me? Biopsy. They were getting ready to do the biopsy. I said, oh, let's just do a little bit more x-ray stuff here, you know, and look and bring the radiologist in and da-da-da-da-da. They said, no, you know what? There's a lot of scar tissue, and you've got a lot of scar tissue from the accident that you had. And there's just a lot of density. And he's like, there's no cancer there. There's no cancer at all. I could jump up and hug that man, you know? I didn't know who he was. He had a foreign accent, and I couldn't hardly understand half of it. But when he said that, I knew what he was saying. And Chad said, oh, thank you so much. You know, it's a Friday afternoon, 5 o'clock. And when we walked out of there, Chad said, you know what? Not every patient that left here today may have had that. And my answer may not have been that. And maybe next time when I go in, it won't be. But today it was. And I'm just thankful for today. But we have to navigate our emotions. You can't always be down all the time. But sometimes we do need to grieve. You're not going to have a loss of a loved one and just it not affect you. You're not going to have a grieving time. You're not going to have some emotions. But you can't stay in that state. Do you see what I'm saying? You've got to get up. You've got to stand through it. And hopefully, when you have those other people that have given their burdens to the Lord, they can bear some of that with you. And you can stand together. But navigate your emotions. Choose when to fall apart. G, go to someone who's experienced the same change. G, go to someone who's experienced the same change. You know, if I want to change my hairstyle, I'm not going to go to where I get my oil changed. Because they're not going to know what kind of hairstyle I need, you know? If I need to go somewhere and get a different change, if I need to, you know what, my car's got flat tires and I need to get, I'm not going to go to Dillard's to get, you know, what do y'all have, Macy's, whatever you have, you know, JCPenney's, whatever. I'm not going to go get, find out what's the best set of tires for my vehicle. It's just, I'm going to go to someone who's went through it. I'm not going to go to someone who said, man, my grandfather passed away and I've lost my grandfather. It's the first death I've ever dealt with. Now I've lost two grandfathers. I've never dealt with death before. I'm not going to go to someone who's never lost anyone before. Maybe it's a widow. You've lost a spouse. You're not going to come and ask me, how do you deal with that when you become a widow? I'm not a widow. You're going to go to someone who's went through some of that hurt. Maybe that's why you went through hurt. You know, when I had a miscarriage three times, I could not understand why that was happening. For a long time, when I couldn't have children, I couldn't understand why God, why? Do you know how many people that I have come to have the God put in my life that have not been able to conceive or have had miscarriages? It's not the same. I have learned, do not say, I know what you're going through. You do not know what they're going through. Everyone is different. I cannot go to this lady and say, I know what it's like. I've had a miscarriage too. No, I don't. Hers could be different. But I could say, this is what helped me. Try this. Try to do this. These are some verses. I'm going to pray for you. My heart hurts for you. You can say things to be a blessing. Maybe the hurt you had, remember, don't waste it. You could help someone else through it. I didn't get married till I was 28. I met Chad when I was 28 and got married when I was 29. Someone who's single and thinks their life is over because they haven't found Mr. Right, I can empathize with that. It's real. I was there. I remember it. So I try to matchmake them. No, I am actually trying to. So, but I don't go to somebody who's got 18 children and has never lost one, or doesn't have a problem conceiving. I'm not going to go to her and say I have this problem. You know, maybe I will. No, never mind. But you have to go to someone who's went through that hard time, who's experienced the same change. You know, sometimes we think if I say I have a hurt or a problem, it's going to make me not look spiritual. Do you know God wants us to go to one another, lift one another up in prayer, to seek help, to seek guidance? I don't want to go to the pastor and tell him that I don't really know how, we're not really doing family devotions really well. Or, you know, my child keeps talking back all the time. He comes to church and he's great, but at home he's just like a terror child. You know, I mean, I don't want to go to the Sunday school teacher and tell him, you know, what do you think would be a good way to help Johnny at home be more respectful? Because then that's going to make me look, that's pride. By all means, seek someone who is knowledgeable in the area, who has succeeded. I'm not going to go to a child who's got 15 kids in jail and they're all down in gangs and doing drugs. I'm not going to go ask them how to raise my children. They've not succeeded at that. They're not, it's clear. But I've got someone who has children that have grown up and they're serving the Lord and they have a sweet spirit and they want to do what's right. I'm going to say, what worked for you? What didn't? And I should let down my pride not to think that I'm all that and I can do it. Sometimes we just don't seek help. It's not just a need. Sometimes it's just knowledge that we need. Go to someone who's experienced it. No one knows how to minister to those who are hurting or had changes more than those that have hurt and went through changes in their life before. E, enjoy every day as it's the greatest day of my life. You wake up in the morning and say, this is the greatest day of my life. It's the only day you have right now. You can't go back to yesterday. There's a couple things I did yesterday I thought, that was so stupid of me. Why did I say that? You ever do that? Hand and foot. Foot in hand, mouth, you know, and cover it up. You think, oh, why did I ever say that? Oh, I hope that didn't offend them. I didn't mean it that way, or I should think before I speak. And you think about, I can't go back to yesterday. It's gone, never to come back again. And I'm not guaranteed of tomorrow. But I'm in the now, right now. So today I can be the best soul-er I can be today. Today I can be the best wife that I can be today. Today I can be the best mom, show my children that I love them so much today. Tomorrow I may not have them. That accident we had 2 years ago, I could be going to a graveside right now. That's how close that it was. And that's how God's mercy that it wasn't. But am I living every day like this is the greatest day of my life? This is what God's given me, and this is what I want to give to God? This is how I want to stand strong? Or am I just laying down defeated? Oh, well. Sometimes we get halfway through the day and think, well, I messed up today. I'll just wait till tomorrow. Live the rest of the day. Instantly. You know what? God forgets and forgives instantly. You don't have to wait till your nighttime prayers to ask for God's forgiveness. You don't have to wait till then to ask for his help. Live every day. It's the greatest day of your life. Live in the present. Look for the good. Be happy. Life's too short. Help others achieve it to make it their best day of their life. You know, other people are struggling. This is a hurting world. We went to the store, stopped by a store last night, and the lady who was checking things out, you could just tell she was hurting. Something in her life, have you ever seen people? You just see it in their life, they're hurting. People are hurting. Why not we just make it smile? Hey, going through Walmart, going through Target, hey, do you get off work pretty soon? Thank you so much for being so quick. Hey, why can't you go a little faster, you know, instead of being so rude to them? You never know what that person's going through. Stand strong through the difficulties of life. Maybe sometimes you standing strong is just going to help somebody else get through their day. Just to be kind. Live it like it's the greatest day of your life. Have you ever had someone send you an encouraging word or a text? You ever had that feeling like, maybe I should send them a little note and you don't? I woke up the other night, and it was about 1 o'clock. It was about midnight. I hadn't gone to bed yet, actually. It was about midnight. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning in Tennessee. And the Lord put a friend of mine on my heart. And I thought, man, I don't see her that often. It's assistant pastor's wife, but I don't know why. The Lord just kept putting her on my heart. I didn't know why. And you know what? I didn't have to know why. But I just kept thinking, why, Lord? Why are you trying to... And I just felt like I needed, I'm going, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. What if I text her and wake her up? The Lord said, just do what I said, Marcia. Okay, so I just text, sorry if this wakes you, I'm giving my disclaimer. Sorry if this wakes you up, but the Lord just kept putting you on my heart. I just want you to know I love you. I'm praying for you, and just keep on keeping on. She texts me back instantly, like before I could put the phone down. And I'm going, oh, no, I did wake her up. She said, I can't believe you just texted me. Now, what do you think I did? I'm going, oh, no, because I took it that way, like, I can't believe you just texted me, you know. But come to find out, as we text back and forth for the next 30 minutes, she could not sleep, and they had a really big need in their family. And she said, Marsha, I was having such a hard time giving it to the Lord because I just kept worrying about it so much. She said, I had gotten up and slipped out into the living room. And she said, I was just praying and praying, and I was trying to give it to the Lord. She said, I just slipped back up into the bed. My husband's like, just go to sleep already, you know. And the text came through. She said, I then woke him up and said, can you believe this? Marcia just sent me a text. She's praying for me right now. It was like, I can go to sleep because Marcia's going to lift me up in prayer. Is it anything I did? No. I didn't even think about her, to be honest with you. God just put her on my heart. But what if I wouldn't have done anything? What if somebody somewhere, their child's getting ready to go wayward, and you're going to cross their path today? Live it like it's the last day. It's the best day of your life. What can you do for you, and what can you do to someone else to brighten their day, just to make it a great day? Now later on, she'll send me texts off and on. It never fails when I get some encouraging word. It's just the right time when I need it. God just has a way of doing that, to making it the greatest day that you can in your life. This is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the past frets and worries. Don't live in the past successes. You may say, my life's miserable right now. And I say, well, what are you doing for the Lord right now? Well, I used to be a Sunday school teacher. I handed out tracts all the time. I used to tell people about Jesus. Well, are you still thinking that you're doing that because you did it 20 years ago? Because you did it 2 years ago? You can't live in the past. It's what are you doing for the Lord right now? How are you making this the greatest day in your life for you, and the greatest day in your life to edify the Lord? There's nothing that gets our attention any quicker than a trial or a change in our life. The deepest lessons that sometimes we get comes through the deepest pain that we bear. Ask God to be glorified in your changes. There's an old song that, my grandmother used to sing. It's, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul, for I knew the Lord had control. Let it go out of our hands and stand up strong through difficult times. Just let God have it, have all of it, and He'll help us through it. It takes courage and faith to stand. And again, sometimes that's all we can do is stand. Sometimes it's not a matter of running from here to the back of the wall. Sometimes it's not a matter of taking 5 steps. It's just getting up on our feet. Just to be able to stand through it, because standing is the first way. I cannot walk from here to there until I stand up. I have to stand strong through the difficulty. The bend in the road is not the end of a road unless you fail to make the turn. You ever went down an old country road before and you see a big bend? That's not the end of the road. But if you don't turn, make some changes, deal with some changes, how do you stand strong? You just stand. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you, Lord, for these ladies that are here. Lord, so many of them have difficulties in their life. So many of them have went through difficulty times. Maybe there's some ahead right around that corner, that bend that we don't even know about. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to be able to deal with the changes in our life. Lord, maybe there are some needed changes that we need to have. Maybe some expected changes that we know are coming. Maybe, Lord, there's some drastic changes. Lord, help us to choose to look to you. Help us to look for the good. Lord, just help us to keep our eyes on you while we're standing. Help us to claim a verse and to claim a song, Lord, and to stand on your promises. Help us to remember, how can it teach us? What can we learn from this? How can we navigate our emotions and get through the hard times? How can we go to someone, Lord, that could maybe help us? How can we expect this to be the greatest day of our life, Lord, just by standing on your promises? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and we're finishing up this session, how many of you say, Marcia, I'm going through a difficult time, or I've been through one, and I just want to stand strong? Can you raise your hand and just say, I just want to stand. Something today I'm going to take, I'm going to apply it, and I'm going to stand. Dear Lord, with hands all over the room, Lord, I just pray that you'd be with these ladies. Lord, the devil's going to want to knock their feet out from underneath them. And Lord, he does that so well and so sneaky and sly. But Lord, you're greater than that. And with your help, we can stand. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with these ladies, the lives that they represent, the homes they represent, the families. Just help them to stay strong through difficult times. Help them to stay strong through things that aren't even understandable. Lord, when hurt comes, when others hurt us, or family hurts us, things we just can't make sense of, Lord, it just doesn't understand it, Lord. We know that you do, and that you have a purpose, and that all things can become as gold when you refine us. Thank you for all you do for us, and help us through the rest of this meeting. In your name I pray, amen.